sometimes one knows that it's yoga, one knows it's yoga, but one still pursues it, like this point about Kamapata or something, because I'm having this discussion. Actually, I know it's useless to keep discussing it or whatever, so one knows that actually it's nothing about understanding reality at this moment, but because there's that kind of clinging or wishing to work it out, so actually one still pursues it. Even
but if we can understand it right now, then develop it, but if it's not time to understand that, and it's time to understand whatever appears in order to understand better and deeper about whatever appears as, see, condition. It cannot be understood, even the first Vipassanayana.
Yes.
Because there must be the realization of the nature of reality as it is, which is different from daily life, because in daily life it arises and passes away unknowingly all the time. Each of them, like visible object and seeing and hearing, sounds so fast. But when it's Vipassanayana, clear comprehension because of the development of right understanding, the intellect understanding, until it becomes or can condition the moment of direct one.
Yes.
See, the difference between the moment of understanding, no idea about conditions.
Yes.
But later on,
it's more,
yeah, how come this, not that?
And it, how, you know, how could it be seeing the seeing now and not the seeing?
And no name about Anantara Pachaya or Hetu Pachaya or anything at all, because the characteristic of it is the object, clearer than just thinking about the word.
It's not a name or a term at all. I know. And like, I mean, even the Aryan disciples in the Buddha's time, they didn't know the details about different conditions, but actually understood the reality as it is conditioned at that time.
And so they can listen to the teachings with understanding when he talk about Hetupachaya or Anantarapachaya, see? Because they have experienced all those realities
Or
without naming it.
Yes. No, it's a big difference between reading about Anantarapachaya and working out this cheetah conditions, the next cheetah, and just understanding this cheetah that follows.
What cheetah is now, see?
Yes.
No need to turn on the pages to find out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, always lost in the details in the book and forgetting about reality now.
And that is not studying or pariyatti.
No.
It's only the understanding, the reality which is taught.
Yes. And even this, like reading these details, actually it's not even pariyatti if there's no understanding at that time or just want to work out the story. I know. But sometimes it's difficult to help people who, when they're just talking about this detail, and then we say, actually, what about, and maybe they get quite agitated and upset. And we say, well, what about the reality now? And then they say, oh, we're too obsessed with talking about now and reality now and what appears now. And never mind, I'm angry now or whatever. Or it's seeing, because actually I'm not talking about that. I'm quoting from the Tipitaka. And which is more accurate, the Tipitaka or what Ajahn says? This is what they
mean. It's not the realization of hell or heaven, but it's the realization of whatever appears now.
Yes. Yes. And actually it's not enough confidence in the Buddha's teaching, so one thinks that one just has to stick to the word instead of understanding.
As
so this is actually where sadha, when it's the confidence in just understanding reality now.
Or as much as one can see that satta is there, because there's no akusala dhamma, see? So it cannot paint the citta with akusala tint at all, because at that moment the wholesome realities arise.
One just thinks that it must be there. But what about, for example, like when, like now, it's so obvious, only seeing what is seen, and very
seems that there's confidence that it's only seeing now, but actually it's just thinking about.
It's not as confidence as moment when sati arises,
right.
And when panya develops, see,
yes.
The confidence of sata grows together,
yes.
With panya.
Yes.
Sata, viriya, sati, samadhi, and panya.
Yes. It's like viriya, it must be there, but.
How do you explain or use the right word for indriya, like satindriya?
Usually
and
we say faculty is a common translation.
But, what does it mean?
It means like bala, power, and indriya, faculty. Actually, the English term is quite meaningless. I mean, it's like you say, oh, he has the faculty to understand this, or he has the faculty to follow what the teacher says. It's like the ability or something, but actually it's quite meaningless.
That's
in English.
That's why I couldn't think that there is the word fit the meaning of indriya.
No, it doesn't fit.
For example, there is sati at moment of understanding whatever we are talking about, but it's not satindriya.
No.
So at that level, what word fits the meaning of satindriya that one can have the idea about it?
Yes, well, bala power is okay.
But it's another step.
Another step, but before that.
After satindriya.
Yeah. Can you just say the very firm or sati or something
one
like
word?
That?
One word? We can't find any word.
I have to think about it. The
ability. Not enough.
That's what faculty means, ability or yes. The not enough.
Not enough.
And also misleading, like faculty.
Proficiency.
Could be like proficiency.
More than ordinary one.
Yeah, the proficiency. Skill.
The skill.
Proficiency maybe is better. But I think any term.
It depends on understanding, see.
Yeah.
So we have to follow the.
And the worst one is when in English often they translate it by spiritual faculty. It's very. They say spiritual faculty. It's very misleading. Yeah. Proficiency, I think, is better. Proficiency. Like we talk about proficiency or skill in jhana, so that is similar. And actually, I thought Maeve's question is quite good about stealing, about how when, for example, the robber doesn't necessarily wish to harm the other. Of course, there's no metta, but it's not like killing. Obviously, it's the intention to harm the other. But when it's stealing, of course, it's just very, very strong attachment that motivates the deed, and one knows it will cause difficulty to the others, but it's not necessarily harming.
There is attachment for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Even wanting to get the other's possession, right? That is attachment.
Yes.
But when the action is done, it has to be dosa.
Mm-hmm.
Because one can harm, see, the owner, no metta.
Mm-hmm.
So ordinary, when it's a breach of kusala kammapatha, it's because of dosa.
It's understanding the more subtle
this attachment
to
the possession, but actually also there is dosa or harming.
Almost like disregard of the other person's rights. And
as long as you still have metta towards that person, such deed cannot be done.
You couldn't take it. No,
but
that's right.
Attachment is still there,
but
it cannot condition such deeds.
Yes. And the same with sexual misconduct, I think. Similar thing, there's strong attachment, but because one knows, for example, if it's someone else's wife, so a strong attachment, but also lack of metta to the other person.
Any.
So also dosa there, disregard and causing harm to that other person.
Killing, stealing, lying.
It's interesting that dosa must be there. And then someone may give the example, oh, well, if it's not stealing in someone's house, but maybe in the
factory or maybe in the park, but still it's the same. It's still, because there's knowing, it's taking that which doesn't belong to one, that one knows that it causes difficulty. Or,
well, a good example is like in the corporate world, where big companies maybe take people's money and invest it and lose the money and really do not care about they. So it's a kind of stealing. That's yes. a kind of stealing, yes. isn't it?
Yes. yes, or fraud, anything like that.
Mm. That's why we have a kusa sila, kusa sila, and apayagata sila, according to citta. Mm. There is life, this life, but at moment of doing ill deeds, it's because of not having metta.
So one could say for all breaches of sila, all because of lack of metta.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's why it is akusala sila. And at moment of helping, it is kusala sila. So sila is the base, because there is not only nama, there is also rupa, the way citta expressed through speech or deeds. Otherwise, who knows the akusala citta and kusala citta without the movement of the body and speech?
So that makes metta really, it's important, isn't it? Metta is important.
Okay, so you, it's like a van that I came from.
When the object is people or beings, if there is no metta, then there is the opposite. It's akusala. And so if there's no metta, actually the opposite is harming the others, then it's akusala.
But it's said that it also based on lopa. So the action is based on lopa,
like
or dosa.
Yeah, yeah,
but at that moment, lack of metta.
Yes. Metta.
Yes.
Yes.
Because one can be angry so much that one can kill, see.
But how can you say one can be angry so much that one steals?
There is lopa as the base.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And dosa is there. No metta to the owner.
But also the anger of about like resentment that someone has something that I do not have. And so I sort of like, you know, during catastrophes when there is looting, that kind of, well, this is a good opportunity to take from the other. So there's anger, there's a lot of anger there.
But there's still, and at that time, there's disrespect for the owner.
It's all of that.
Lack of metta.
Yes. It, right, that my understanding about kusala is mean one more appreciate the other kusala, doing a good thing.
Any kind of kusala, because it leads to more and more kusala when it's right understanding. It see the danger of akusala.
And appreciate the kusala thing.
And like you say, unless there is the, well, we're talking about the speech intimation and the bodily intimation, unless there's the deed or the speech, one has no idea, but may still be lack of metta or any of these things. But when it's the actual action, and that's when it can be the kamapata, when it's apparent.
So, and we don't know when it's supporting reality, like this is the result of one karma, but the other accumulation is the supporting condition too.
Because no karma can bring its result without that support. So can one say, for example, it's a moment of stealing, it's at that moment it's attachment with the karma, but the tendency of dosa is supporting it and conditioning it at that moment by Paktu Upanisya.
So one can see that even a moment of a reality arising, it needs many, many conditions.
Many supports.
Just to arise and fall and never come back again. Not even one moment ago can come back. not at all.
We haven't spoken so much about Pakatu Panisia this time because Lucas is not here. It's here.
No, see, but not so much about Aramanu Panisia. Yeah. His favourite.
Do you remember every time he wanted to talk about it?
Aramanu Panisia Pakatu?
When it arises, it's the best way to explain or to talk about.
Yes.
Not at the moment when it's not there.
Yes.
And there can be the understanding without remembering just a name.
Yes. One can just one can see it. Yeah.
Aramanupani
see it. Lucas. All the time.
The favorite object.
Yes.
Another Aramanupani see it?
No.
Anumanodara? What?
Aramana and Upanisaya and Pachaya. So it is Aramanupanisaya. Three words. Aramana.
Aramana.
Upanisaya. Upanisaya.
Upanisaya.
Decisive support.
Decisive support.
And Pachaya.
Yeah.
Conditions. Because the accumulation of life to this object so much that it become one's like or dislike of this. You don't take the other thing, but this, because of the accumulation of such taste.
Yes.
And you remember that it has such taste.
Yes.
And you are attached to that taste particularly.
And you always look for that taste.
Yes.
So at that moment, it's aramana. The object is so very decisive that it can condition, like, wanting to get it.
Yeah. The trend.
This is also your Aramanupanisaya. Yeah.
The tape recorder.
The tape more than the food. Like I have some, this is a little bit Aramanupanisaya, but this is more, so if I have a choice, I choose this one.
Or one at a time.
One at a time. Mm-hmm.
The reason why I feel, because always I, so I don't want to have such feeling.
Mm-hmm, that's it, yeah. But it's a reality, thinking. When it's not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, it has to be only thinking. No matter you think about what, it's still thinking about that object.
Yes.
From memory. So memory is one khanda, which is very important for sankhara khanda, because it remembers. So it brings about the attachment and wanting or liking that which has been experienced, seen or heard.
Because makes like we don't want to work, why we have to do such kind of work is least to nothing, and or why we have to be with someone is boring.
Anumokai, anumokai, what I can say?
Aramanu panisi, aramana, remember aramana. And then Upanisaya. Aramanupanisaya.
Aramanupanisaya.
Aramana Upanisaya. So it is Aramanupanisaya. Pachaya.
Whenever they
what is about? He said, Angulimala.
It's like me. I use strong words all the time in Pali because I don't know. Like it should be Ocha, but I pronounce Ocha, Ocha many, many times.
It's like Ajahn, in case like we are just family and sometimes we have troubles or problems living with each other.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just, he said, it's just in the intermittent, it's only vipaka, a pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling. Or just,
a moment.
Yes, but I mean, besides that, there's something not only just
you think vipaka, that it stays, but actually it's just the moment of a reality arising and falling away in split seconds.
But I mean, not only vipakas, but
so you
other
see,
factors.
You see that now, it's impossible not to see, right? But it depends on conditions, whether you like it or not. So liking or disliking is not vipaka, but seeing has to arise by conditions, unavoidable. When time comes, when it's the result, moment of vipaka, result of karma, no one can escape. It has to arise by conditions. But like or dislike, or no like and no dislike at all, can be. So that is not vipaka. Because even Arahata and the Sammasambuddho still have vipaka, the result of previous karma before becoming Arahata.
So what about the conditions?
Each reality is a condition in a way, or two ways, or many ways.
Because like pleasant feeling also conditioned by some types of conditions, and why we always get
when the object is pleasant, it can condition pleasant feeling. When the object is unpleasant, it conditions the unpleasant feeling. As long as there is still conditions for pleasant and unpleasant feeling, it depends on the object too.
That's why like we tend to always angry with these people but not the other people.
Uh-huh. Or to delicious food. See?
Yes.
You cannot say that you do not like it when it's delicious. It's delicious because you have accumulation to like it.
So it's the same, the accumulation to be angry with someone else.
Actually, to what?
Usually to the one
See?
You attach to.
You take that for someone, but actually no one.
We have some orange.
And usually to those to whom we attached a lot?
Certainly, because attachment condition aversion. If there's no attachment, no aversion. Especially attachment to sensuous objects. No one. Only realities, different realities.
And even attachment to the story of the seeing, the hearing, tasting.
No one. Yeah. Seeing sees and then it passes away. So where's you who sees? Hearing arises and it falls away. It's not you, otherwise you has fallen away.
Yes.
But you still keep on taking realities for self or for me. Do you live alone?
She does all alone.
No, with Chita Chica.
With attachment. Have a friend all the time.
Yeah.
I just was chatting to Dungdun about how, you know, like when we have different things seem very important to us, like, you know, stories about politics or anything, and then we get worried and mind and worry, but actually the things we think about and worry about all forgotten the next moment, and we just get lost in our story, and the next day we forget all about what it is we were so worried about today, that like the health of the dog or the situation. It's always an action, and then just now it's just seeing and hearing and thinking, and can be calm here, and it helps a lot just being able to forget it.